Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. Today's day 29 of the Season of the Witch, and we're just a couple of days away from Halloween. As I've mentioned before, horror movies are a lot of times somewhere we can kind of discuss taboo subjects, or at the very least kind of bring up questions that we don't really want to think about in our day-to-day lives or as members of society. Today, we're going to be talking about one of those taboo subjects. Today, we're talking about killer kids. Now, I remember years ago when I was a grad student, one of my friends had found this website. If I remember correctly, it was this survey that you could take that would tell you how many kindergartners you could take on a fight. And there would be questions about, like, are you okay with punching kids in the face? How do you feel about tossing kids to the ground? Things like that. I did terrible. I think I would only last, if I remember correctly, it was like 8. My wife ended up with a pretty high number because I don't think she gives a shit when it comes to survival. But while this was really kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, I think we have this idea of children as being innocent and not necessarily being a danger to others. And that's not always the case. I'm not trying to say that. You know, you gotta fear your kids and you gotta beat the fuck out of them. Definitely not what I'm saying at all. But kids can, at times, be aggressive. And not that I'm saying that you... fuck, I really need to choose my words wisely. I am not implying, and I'm not in any way saying that you should ever hit kids or you should kill them or anything like that. But much like anything, if it's a survival thing... for the setup for a movie, it's definitely worth checking out. And it's an interesting quarry. It's an interesting query. And that leads me to the first movie, which I think kind of gets to the nitty-gritty of it. And that's 1976's Who Can Kill a Child? Or as it was originally known as it was the Spanish release, ¿Quién Puede Matar a un Niño? This is a gonzo exploitation movie from the 70s. It was directed by Narciso Ibáñez Serrador. In this movie, we follow this couple, Tom and Evelyn, who are vacationing in Spain and go to this island off the coast of Spain. Now, Evelyn is pregnant with the couple's third child, and when they get to the island, no one is on the island except for some children. And the children seem to act kind of like uninterested in them and not really engaging. And while they find this odd, they don't really think much about it. As they kind of progress further into the island, they find out that these children have all murdered the adults on the island and that their next targets are Tom and Evelyn. One of the things about these children is that they've been taken over by some force, some entity, and it can take over children through eye contact, which leads to a rather insane sequence where Evelyn's unborn child attacks and kills her. So we end up following then Tom, who is trying to escape the island by himself, and leads to kind of the craziest sequence in the movie, wherein Tom grabs a semi-automatic rifle and blows away a bunch of children as he tries to escape. Trying to get onto this boat to get away, he gets overrun by kids, police show up, and they shoot him, thinking that he's attacking innocent children. This movie is nuts, and I don't know how realistic any of this is. I mean, I doubt it. Obviously, there's no hidden force that's making children want to kill adults or anything like that. But this got me to thinking, like, this was a movie that I kind of considered talking about when I was just talking about one-off movies for different years and that sort of thing. But it got me thinking, and this isn't the only movie where we have killer kids. And they kind of fall into two camps. There's some where, or maybe three, there's some where the kids aren't what they seem. Others when the kids are just kind of doing it for kicks because they're fucked up, and others where there's like this one where there's some outside force or entity that's kind of causing them to be that way they are. But as I thought about it, as I said, like, there really are a lot of movies that would kind of definitely fall into this category, and some that tangentially fall into this category. Some of them are much more serious, kind of along the lines of this movie, and others aren't. But I think a more modern take on this is Ils from 2006, or Them. This movie was part of the New French Extremism, and one of the few movies I didn't talk about when I talked about, French horror. In Them, we follow this couple, Lucas and Clementine, who are living in an isolated country house, and little by little, their power goes out, something's going on with their car. They don't really know what's going on. They only know that their house is under attack. And as the movie progresses, we find out that they're being attacked by a group of adolescents who are doing this for kicks, basically. And this kind of goes back to my whole, like, how many kindergartners can you take in a fight? Because I don't think anyone's inclination is to fight children. Like, it's like, not like, oh, kids are messing with me, I need to, like, punch them in the face. But this movie is just, it's not necessarily as extreme as some of the movies that I talked about when I talked about the New French Extremism. I mean, definitely not as gory, but the idea, I think, is probably just as unsettling as cannibalism or the violence that we perpetuate on others out of revenge and things like that. And much like The Strangers, just kind of have these kids do this just because, and much like The Strangers, this is quote-unquote based on true events. I don't know how true they really are, but they definitely make for an interesting movie. And in a way, this is not that I'm saying this is a remake of a 40-year-old movie from 1976, but there's definite parallels to it. And I think kind of almost watching them back-to-back would make for a very interesting double feature. But speaking of straight-up punching kids in the face, one of the other movies that is just straight-up fucking silly is 2009's Orphan. Orphan is not a good movie. It is terrible. But there are a couple of notable things in Orphan. One is that this, I think, at least as far as I can remember, this was the first horror movie that Vera Farmiga was in. Vera Farmiga, who would go on to be in a shit ton of Conjuring movies, along with her sister, Thaisa Farmiga. And this is the only, one of the few movies that I could think of where the main character doesn't just fall into this trap of, like, this kid is being aggressive or this kid is manipulating everybody and I can't do anything about it physically. Because this is a movie where Vera Farmiga straight up slaps a 9-year-old girl. And as I said, not that I would ever, 9-year-old girl's name is Esther, not that I would ever condone hitting a kid, because that's terrible and you shouldn't. And I'm a mandated reporter, and you know, if that happened, I would have to report you. But in a movie, and if a kid is straight up trying to seduce your husband, even if they're a 9-year-old kid, or doing stuff to your other kids, slapping the taste out of their mouth is definitely worth doing. And honestly, that's basically the only scene worth watching in this stupid movie. But I kind of wanted to point it out because this is a movie where a 9-year-old kid tries to torture and straight up stalks and tries to kill people, which is insane. And of course they cop out because, you know, who wants to see a movie about a sexually aggressive 9-year-old, right? And it turns out that Esther is actually a full grown woman who I guess has that baby doll disease. I don't know what it's called. I say baby doll because there was a character in Batman the Animated Series, and I'm pretty sure she was in Batman Comics, whose name is Baby Doll, who is a little person who doesn't age, even though she's a full-grown woman. And yeah, I mean, like I said, this movie is not great, but just YouTube that scene where Vera Farmiga slaps her right in the face. It's, oh, this is all messed up, but it's like one of the most satisfying slaps I've ever seen in a movie. But, you know, Who Can Kill a Child wasn't the first movie that really kind of brought this idea up. I mean, this is something that, at least when it comes to movies, has gone back to 1956 and probably before that. But in 1956, we got The Bad Seed, which is also just this notorious movie based on a John Lee Mahin screenplay of the Maxwell Anderson play, which was actually extremely popular. And we follow in this one this little girl, Rhoda, who is a perfect little girl, but she may also be kind of a manipulative psychotic killer. And that's kind of the central crux of the movie. Is she doing these things on purpose? What's going on? This movie is... it's directed by Mervyn LeRoy, who's done a lot of great movies, and it's just kind of out there. It really, I think, is just kind of a seminal horror movie from the 50s, because it's just so out there, and it really plays more like a drama more than anything. But just the idea of having this killer 8-year-old girl who manipulates people into, like, killing themselves is insane, and The Bad Seed is definitely worth checking out. It's a bit more classier take on something like Orphan. Definitely not as violent as the other movies I've talked about, but worth checking out. Really great acting in this. Just to see people like trying to match wits with an 8-year-old who may try to kill them. And like, this is a little bit of me cheating, but one of the movies that I always think about when thinking about killer kids, one of the movies that I think kind of tangentially fits into this category is 1988's Child's Play, directed by Spider-Man himself, Tom Holland. I'm kidding. It's a different Tom Holland. But Child's Play does have a kid who everyone thinks is a killer for much of the movie. Child's Play, I think, also kind of has the same idea that I've always had. In general, when I think of these movies where the killers are kids, I'm always like, it's a kid. Just, like, keep them away from you. Like, you know? But there is the whole idea of kind of like, going back to the first movie, who can kill a child, who can hit a kid, you know? And Child's Play, I think, is a really well-made movie. The much less said about the sequels, the better, except for Bride of Chucky. That Bride of Chucky is fucking amazing. But Child's Play has a couple of things really going for it. And, I mean, chief among them is Brad Dourif as the voice of Chucky, of the doll. And, of course, the design of that doll, which has just become iconic. And I know Tom Holland, the director, talked about like just some of the things that they had to do in order to really kind of make this doll menacing and try to make it as like a killer, everything from using a puppet to using, forced perspective to using a little person dressed up like Chucky, or children. Like, it's insane the lengths that they went to, but it really shows, especially in this first movie. And I gotta say, this is probably the only horror movie that I could ever think of where a child actor says something like, you know, oh, Chucky says she deserved to die because she was a bitch. Like, and like I said, you know, the whole idea in this movie is that no one believes that this doll is possessed and is doing the killings. Everyone thinks that it's this poor little boy. I'm totally blanking on his name, but everyone thinks that it's Andy who is doing all these killings, and it's not. It's a doll. But once again, I mean, it's almost like a false equivalency. It's a doll. Like, it's 3 feet tall. But then again, I mean, there's like the Annabelle movies, and there's the story of Robert the Doll and everything. People are afraid of dolls. I get it. But I always thought that's kind of a silly idea, but... Child's Play is definitely amongst these doll movies, and even kind of the implication of having a killer kid in it is definitely worth checking out. It's definitely a fun movie, and it's, I think, a seminal 80s horror movie. Something that kind of took a completely different take on the insanity, as I was talking about in slasher movies, where this is a slasher movie, just you have a doll in it, and they really went for it in a different way. Something that would continue with slashers, and just kind of a different take on kind of how you would get away with having a killer kid in the movie. And I guess you can kind of say, well, you know, Andy does end up kind of destroying the doll, so he does end up killing the doll, although it doesn't matter because it keeps coming back. But as I said, not every killer kid movie has some outside entity that's causing all this, which leads me to 1997/2007's Funny Games. And I say slash because Michael Haneke which I just think this is fascinating. I think Funny Games is probably, if it's not his best known movie, it's definitely one of his best known movies. He remade this 10 years later for American audiences, which is weird because he didn't really change much. But Funny Games follows these two adolescents who basically are asked to go into their quote-unquote neighbor's house. They're not their neighbors. And end up spending the whole movie torturing them because it's fun for them. And they even talk about how, like, when the mom, she's like, why don't you just kill us? He's like, well, you got to think about the entertainment value for us. Like, just killing you is not going to entertain us. We kind of have to go that extra mile. And Funny Games, I think, is also infamous for that twist at the very end where one of the boys picks up a TV remote and rewinds what just happened and redoes the ending so that his friend isn't killed. And, like, I think people were completely thrown by this because nothing like that had happened in the movie. This movie is basically presented in a quote-unquote realistic way. Like, there isn't any supernatural, otherworldly, or in this case, you know, fourth wall breaking moments before it, but all of a sudden this happens, and you know what, fuck it, like, why not just go for it, you know. If you're trying to make this almost meta commentary on not just, like, adolescence and the kind of shit that kids get up to sometimes, and not that this is all kids, but, you know, serial killers start somewhere, you know, but also just kind of on our obsession with pop culture, you know, it's interesting, and Funny Games is a different movie, who I feel, unfortunately, the impact of that movie has diminished over time, just because there's been other movies that have imitated it, and even itself with that remake, you know. I think probably one of the more classic movies that would fall into this mold, and I don't know if people necessarily think about it this way, is 1976 The Omen, where we have Damien, who is the literal son of Satan. And, I mean, Damien doesn't actually kill anybody in this movie. I mean, people kill themselves for him, thinking of his nanny specifically. And Gregory Peck tries to kill a child in this movie, because it is the Antichrist. but The Omen is this interesting movie because this is a movie that implies, at least for the first part, definitely implies a lot. And then as the movie progresses, it gets more and more explicit in the satanic nature of what we're seeing. But The Omen, I also don't think is that great of a movie. It's one of those movies where I'm like, okay, it's a classic. It's definitely worth checking out to kind of understand why it's become a thing. But I also, I don't think it's that great. I mean, technically it's well done. I mean, and Gregory Peck is it's well acted. It's just, I don't know, there's just something missing. And I don't know if it's one of those things where, having seen The Omen, what, 20 years after it came out, maybe 25 years after it came out, the impact of it had really been diminished once again, like Funny Games, because other movies had imitated it. And, I don't know, this is just one of my feelings where most of the time I'm able to kind of set that aside, but with this particular movie, I kind of wasn't. And probably watching the terrible remake from 2006 didn't help that either. But, I mean, I'm struggling to say, like, whether I would recommend it or not. I mean, I think if you enjoy that kind of, like, satanic sort of take, Antichrist movies, not that there's necessarily a lot of them, but I mean, yeah, you know, you can dig around, you can find them. I mean, it's one of the better ones in that subgenre, I guess, but not something that I would necessarily go out of my way to watch. But, you know, you come across it on TV, if you got nothing better to do and you find it on Netflix or something, you know, knock yourself out. Another movie that that isn't that great that falls into this is Children of the Corn, very, very loosely based on the Stephen King short story starring Peter Horton and Linda Hamilton. Linda Hamilton, I believe this is right before Terminator, or at least or right around the time that Terminator came out. And Children of the Corn is another one where we have these this couple that ends up in this remote town where there's these children led who have this religious cult where they worship he who is behind the rose, who is some sort of eldritch god, I guess. It's never really explained in this first movie. And this is a movie that, once again, somehow led to a franchise, and I think later on they kind of explain that more. But this is also a movie where the source material is much, much more in line with Who Can Kill a Child than the movie. I mean, in the source material, these kids are straight up, like, killers, and the main couple they're following doesn't survive. In the movie, they do, and we still have this idea of these killer children. But it kind of pulls its punches, which, I mean, for 1984, I can understand why they would, you know, because once again, I don't think this is a subject that a lot of people really want to think about. But as I mentioned, you know, like even with Children of the Corn, we get this idea that there is something outside of these children that's causing them to do these behaviors, right? They believe in this eldritch god, and so they sacrifice people to it because it's part of their religion, you know, and sometimes we have like almost like these extraterrestrial sort of origins. I'm thinking specifically of 1960s Village of the Damned, which has this town of Midwich where there's this incident where all these townspeople fall asleep, and all the women that fall asleep during this time end up waking up pregnant, and 9 months later they give birth to these blonde-haired, blue-eyed children whose eyes glow and who are able to force people to do things against their will. Now, this is 1960, so I think it's just interesting to see what I can only think of as analogs for the Aryan race as these extraterrestrials that are trying to take over the world. You know, it's perhaps I'm reading too much into it, but I really think that's an interesting take on that. And it's just, this is just a movie that's great to see just to see George Sanders yell at children. And this movie isn't anywhere exclusively as violent as some of the other ones. And this is probably the only time I will say this, where don't watch the John Carpenter remake. It's not good. I mean, I guess if you want to see Christopher Reeve acting in a wheelchair, knock yourself out. But as much as I love John Carpenter, that's definitely one of his weaker movies. And if you're going to see either one, I would say go with the original. It's better made, which is, it's almost difficult for me to say, but it's better made, and it's a better movie overall. But speaking of this idea of extraterrestrial forces causing killer children, going back to the slashers, 1981 also gave us Bloody Birthday, which is a slasher movie in which three children are born after, at the height of an eclipse, and 10 years later, they begin to murder kids, and murder people, not just kids, but this is, like, the scene that I always think of when I think of this movie is on their 10th birthday, they have a birthday party, and they poison the cake, so everyone at the birthday gets sick, and some of the kids die. This movie is nuts. It's actually probably one of the better slasher movies, just because it has this, it commits to this, like, really crazy idea of having kids running around shooting people in the head, and, like, shooting them with bows and arrows in the eye, and poisoning people. It's nuts. It's insane. But yeah, like, I think it's definitely worth checking out. And the last movie that I wanted to talk about is 2014's Cooties, which is very much not in the vein of these other movies. It's nowhere near as serious as some of these entries. It's definitely nothing like Funny Games, for example. Cooties is this, I mean, I can only think of it as this, like, black comedy, this horror comedy, where we follow Elijah Wood on his first day as a substitute, or on his, I think he's a substitute teacher, where there's this mysterious virus that starts turning children into zombies. So this is a movie where the teachers have to basically gang up and kill kids to survive. And it turns out that they get turned into zombies because of some chemicals falling into chicken nuggets, which having a 62-year-old, kids love chicken nuggets. I love chicken nuggets, and I'm 39. But, yeah, like, the kids get turned into zombies. This movie is pretty damn gory. I mean, it was written by Lee Whannell, so of Saw fame, so kind of what would you expect? But very much tongue-in-cheek. This movie is delightful. Delightful not because it's, you know, a happy, fun movie. It's just ridiculous in the amount of gore and violence that this has and the amount of of zombie children that are killed in this thing. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think this is a topic that it's difficult to talk about. I mean, I don't know what situation I would ever be in where I would have to hit or kill a child for my own survival. And I don't think it's something that most people really want to think about. And the easiest way to kind of talk about a taboo subject like that is to bring it up in a horror movie and discuss it in a horror movie. And most of the time, it's going to be in some crazy exploitative way. And that's perfectly fine, because it's better to kind of have it in these crazy exploitative ways and to have maybe people think about it than to just never address it. Because the flip side of that is that there's plenty of people who do hit kids and who do kill children, and not through any fault of those kids. So while I may be taking this from the point of view of why would you ever be in a situation where this would need to happen, and let's address it that way, the reality is that, I mean, it's in the news all the time. Like, people hit their kids. There's a reason for, you know, child protective services in this country and in other countries. You know, people kill children because they're being a nuisance, or they didn't want them, or whatever reason. And I'm not talking about abortion here. I'm talking about, you know, kids after they're born. Just because some people can't handle them, you know? And to kind of flip it in a way where you would think about it as your own survival, I think is almost a way where we can maybe try to address it. Because well, I'm sure I could think of a movie where we do follow somebody going around killing a bunch of kids. I'm sure Steven Spielberg probably has some movies that would be related to that. Or you know, something like House or The Hole or Monster Squad. You know, those, I don't think they bring it up in a way where people necessarily think about it, because there's monsters, there's demons in those, you know? But to basically flip it where most of the time we're talking about just normal kids being a danger to people, and to flip that so that we can think about, you know, why would you ever be in a situation where you would maybe not necessarily want to, but where you would hurt a child? It's a situation that just is way too common. And you know, maybe this is one way of trying to at least start that conversation. So we only got a couple more episodes before we hit Halloween. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow.